Okay, so we're in the desert. God has led the people to the border of the promised land, okay? These guys have traveled from Egypt, seen mighty acts, have grumbled all along the way. God has shown up miraculously at every turn, giving them even their desires, not just their needs. And they are on the border. They are about to go in. A couple of years it's taken. A couple of years for a culture to be developed, a law to be given, and a social code to be issued by God, so that the people all know exactly how they're going to live when they get into the promised land, and they've already been practicing. So they are a people complete, ready to just move in and be established. Spies are sent into the land, one from each tribe. They know the drill. It's beautiful. It's a spectacular land. Everything that was promised. It really is the promised land. 12 spies come back and declare just as much. It is the promised land. But 10 of the spies say, but it's a promised land we cannot get. We cannot take this land. Joshua and Caleb are like, what? God has promised us this land. We want to go back now. We just came from 40 days in the best of the best. They've probably even scouted out places to put their homes. They are ready. But the people grumble. The entire land of Israel, who have been cultivated and made into God's chosen people out in the wilderness, are soured and bittered. The rumors spread all through the camp, more than 1 million people, and it all falls apart right on the border. Moses and Aaron fall down on their face because God's about to take out the whole thing. And God relents and passes judgment. None of you are going in. None of you. None of you that were in this census. Any fighting man, anyone over 20 and able-bodied, you will die in the wilderness. Of course, the next day they repent once again, because that's always worked. We're sorry, you're right. Didn't work this time though. They were on the border and God said, no, that's it. So they take matters into their own hands and say, no, we're going to follow the Lord. We're going to follow the Lord on our own terms. And they get slaughtered. So back into the wilderness they will go. And that is exactly what will happen, and we'll read about it. The sad thing of this story, though, is that Joshua and Caleb didn't do anything wrong. They got to spend 40 days in the promised land, overjoyed at what God was about to give them. And they had to pay with 40 years in the wilderness. Of course, they get to go. That's not the point. They get to go. God is faithful. But I think the message is for leaders today. And to some degree, we are all leaders, whether we are in leadership in our own homes over our children or whether we are leading many. The scouts weren't sent into the land to see if they could actually do it. The scouts were sent into the land to see what was up and how they needed to be prepared. We're here invited to bring the kingdom. We're here to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. And so often we sit at the border of God's promises and renege. And everyone behind us has to pay for that. If we chicken out, our kids have to pay for that, which is exactly what happened here. If we duck and run, everyone following us is stuck. the future generation does get to go in and take the land. And they do, and it's glorious. But they could have grown up in the promised land. They could have spent their whole life there. Now they have to go in and mop up what their parents wouldn't do. Now they have to step up and do what their leaders wouldn't. Lead. Obey. March. Take what God had promised them. God has promised us much. This land is God's. This world is the Lord's. And it's been invaded by sin since the beginning. Culture has dictated the way things are going to go for a long, long time. But that does not mean we have to stand for it. There is much that belongs to the Lord that lies in enemy hands. Who's going to go? And who's going to leave it up to their kids? That's really the question.